Talk Radio. Julia Hartley Brewer at breakfast on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. This is Talk Radio Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Thank you so much for your company. And, all this debate over COVID and coronavirus, how it's affected our lives for much of the last year, well, more than the last year, and how it's going to affect our lives, well, after June the 21st and many years to come. I just don't see any letting up in people demanding lockdown after lockdown with any single case or any single death. But a lot of attention is really turning into where this came from, where this virus came from. Was it just simply unlucky? And it was just the leap of a virus, as we've seen many times before, from an animal to human beings and then spread through human beings? Or did it come from a leak from a laboratory? Well, accusations about Wuhan lab that was actually looking into coronaviruses, of course, they've been talked about since very early on. World Health Organization investigation gave such a sort of a clean bill of health to the Wuhan lab that, frankly, it was really laughed out of many people's homes. And indeed, even their boss of the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, has questioned the validity of that report. But what's interesting is how many people who've been talking about the lab leak theory, including the likes of Donald Trump, by the way, for much of last year, have been vilified and criticised and mocked as conspiracy theorists, including, by the way, my next guest, Professor Angus Dudley. She's a professor of oncology at St George's University of London and joins us now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're a vaccine researcher at St George's in South London, and you have been talking for a very long time about that. You believe that this virus is an escape from a lab and not just something that happened accidentally at a wet market or elsewhere. This is now something that's being investigated and talked about seriously. Dr. Fauci in America, the president's advisor on COVID, now talking about this as a possibility that he's investigating. World Health Organization looking at it. But when you were raising this many, many months ago, and many others, you were dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, despite your eminent expertise in this area. What happened to you?
Well, I'll tell you what happened was that I have worked with colleagues in Norway, Berger Sorensen and his colleagues, on an HIV vaccine for some years. And we've finally tweaked it, and it's really, really effective, probably the best HIV candidate in the world. But because of great big trials ongoing at the time, it was not given the backing it needed. And we predicted the trials would fail, and we were completely correct. So when COVID came on, I got a phone call from Berger Sorensen saying, we need to apply the same principles to the coronavirus. I really want you to help join me in designing a really good coronavirus vaccine. And I said, you know, I was just thinking along the same lines because the HIV has been so right, yeah, all the reasons that everybody dismissed. And I'm sure it would be similar to the coronavirus. And so we started to look for those core sequences as opposed to the vaccines which use the entire spike and you throw the spike into the vaccine. The secret of the HIV one was just to pick the four absolute Achilles heels and put them on and avoid everything else. And he said, let's do the same for the coronavirus. And while he was doing this, he phoned up and he said, the sequences do not match. They do not match the coronavirus. And I said, which particular point? And he said, the receptor binding region. Well, I have a long track record in research in the receptor for HIV, so I immediately was all ears. And in a nutshell, I know it's a very complicated thing.
Yep.
It's not just sequences, but he's a biochemist. He says that in the receptor binding, there is a region of four positively charged amino acids, and this never occurs in nature. It would be edited out. They have been inserted.
So
they have been inserted.
You're saying so that we're going to have to just move away from, I mean, some of the technicalities on this for those of us who don't have your level of expertise, Angus. But basically, the evidence was pretty clear pretty early on to you and to other experts that there was something that didn't add up, that it was likely this had been a study. But, I mean, there are people on the internet saying, oh, you know, this is all deliberate. I mean, the conspiracy theories go, you know, sky high. This isn't about China necessarily developing this virus and wanting to unleash it on the world. This is, the theory is, you know, they were working on this virus. Many different countries work on many different viruses, lots of different research, some for good, some for ill, but that it was an accidental leak. Why do you think so many authorities in the world are so keen to not investigate that? Why would the World Health Organization not look at that properly? Why would that be dismissed so readily when the evidence would be available from what the experts have had to say?
Well, you have a lot of questions there, but one of the ones I'd like to address, which is probably the most fundamental, the WHO.
Mm.
The WHO was basically bought by China.
Yeah.
The head of the WHO, the Ethiopian, which I can never pronounce his...
He's known around the world as Dr. Tedros, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes. It was clearly put there as by China. And if he hadn't been subject to China, he would have called a whistle very, very early on, and this virus would never have escaped.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of evidence, isn't there, that the World Organization was lent on by China, a big funder for his campaign, and the like, and that they basically didn't want this to be declared a pandemic. They told blatant lies to the World Organization in the face of all the evidence about human to human transmission, etc., etc.
It was indeed overwhelming, and in part of the cover up, the idea did focus on the grounds that it could not have escaped from the laboratory because it was done in the highest containment possible.
Yeah.
That's called Category 4. Let me just try and put this very simply. If you're going to try and genetically engineer viruses, it's quite a complex thing to do. And you cannot do that in a spacesuit. That's what space for. It'd be big people in spacesuits with hooks for hands. You can't do that. So we have it on very good authority, people who have contacted us and said all this engineering was done in the Category 2 lab. And it's well documented. They leak like sieves. I mean, there's very good examples in the literature of people in Category 3 labs who basically walked out after disconnecting and they've walked out with SARS-1 in their hair and got infected and can infect
Good Lord.
People.
I mean, that is an incredible worry. And I certainly, there have been investigations in some of the newspapers and some of the photographs of the lab, you know, long before we knew about this, which showed that there really wasn't much security there. Professor Angus Devlish, unfortunately, time is against us. We'll have to leave it there. I do hope you come on the show again and we can talk a little bit more length about this. And again, I do worry that because Donald Trump took this issue up, that suddenly it became something that everyone just said, oh, it must be wrong because he's a conspiracy theorist and people didn't pay attention. But it does matter how this came about. It does matter because we need to stop it from happening next time. Professor Angus Devlish, thank you so much for joining us.